Now we're going to look at the gospel. The theme is prophecy, so you can imagine that Jesus now is going to claim his prophetic credentials. He's a prophet. The best text to illustrate that, because it also illustrates the reaction, is in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start way back. In Luke, he goes into the desert, he's tempted, he comes out, and he goes up to Galilee right away. He's now ready to begin his prophetic vocation, which will actually lead him ultimately to death on the cross. And he knows that. He's committed himself to this since his baptism, you see. And that's why right after his baptism, as the text says, you see, Luke, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, being tempted by the devil for 40 days. During that time, he ate nothing for 40 days. And at the end, he was hungry. But then the devil comes, and we have all those temptations. In a different order in Luke, but the temptations, you see. And then that section ends, having exhausted all these ways of tempting him, the devil left him to return at the appointed time. He'll be back. He's going to kill Jesus. Okay. So Jesus then begins to preach that the power of the Spirit in him after his fasting for 40 days and resisting the devil, he has a deeper power of the Spirit in him. And his reputation spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, you see. And this is all background. The text starts in verse 18, which is on the... Well, I'll show you what it is. Okay. He went into the synagogue in his own hometown, and as he usually did on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. They invited him. Here's the scroll. You see, there would be a big scroll like this. And he would stand up to give the reading and then to expound on it. You're visiting one of our own, but becoming an eminent man and preaching to the whole country. And so, or starting to. And so we'll invite him to preach here. And so. So then, you see, the Spirit, this is the text from Isaiah, 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. You see? He has sent me to bring the good news. Evangelizaste. Who's going to get the good news? The poor. And nobody with a lot of money or no money. Nobody whose heart is proud will hear the good news. They'll hear the words, but they'll never know the good news. That's why the poor, you see, they're softer much of the time. And they hear the good news and they respond. Okay. To proclaim liberty to captives, and to the blind new sight, to the downtrodden freedom, and to proclaim the Lord's year of favor. You see? And then, so all of that is background. Our reading begins with chapter 21. This day, he sat down, everyone in our text says, and they were all, the eyes of everybody were fixed on him. What's he going to say now? After reading that. And he says, this day, this scripture which you have heard has been fulfilled. They all bore him witness and admired the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. And then they said, isn't this the son of Joseph? He lives down the street. Who is this? And then Jesus challenged them. You see, perhaps you will speak to me in a proverb and say, physician, heal yourself. whatever we've heard of you doing in Capernaum, do also here in your own city. The healings, the exorcisms, do it here. That's pretty hard heart, isn't it? He's just told them all about himself, and that's what they say. And so he says back, no prophet is acceptable in his own city. Too familiar. We know that guy. What does he mean, talking to us like he's spouting for God? I mean, we know this guy. And so then he takes the example of two other prophets. There were many widows in the house of Israel in the days of Elijah the prophet, when the heavens were closed up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine in all the land. But to no one of them, even these widows, was he sent, Elijah, except to Sarepta in Sidon, to a widow woman. The prophet was sent to one widow woman, not a Jew. She's up there in Sarepta, which is not Israel. It's up there on the coast. It's Lebanon. Why is the prophet sent up there? Well, so this woman can take care of him. You see, she takes care of the prophet. And as the Lord will say later, whoever takes care of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And so, and then there were many lepers in the house of Israel in the days of Elisha the prophet, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian, another Auslander, another non-Jew. So why do you keep telling me I have to preach to you? Two of my predecessors preached to non-Jews. The word of the Lord, the prophecy of the Lord, and the healing power of the word, you see, is for everybody. You've been bearing this light so that all the world can see by it one day. And they got really mad. They were filled with anger. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and brought him to the top of the hill on which the city was built, that they could throw him down from the rock. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. That's the confrontation in Nazareth. Huh? That's the opening of Jesus' prophetic vocation. They kill him. They try to kill him. Now, he's already begun his, according to the synoptics, before he left Capernaum, he preached. And this is very clear in Mark. The first miracle in Mark is an exorcism. And he's preaching in the synagogue, and a demoniac screams out. Jesus says, out. Everybody's amazed. You see? And that's the first miracle in Mark. In other words, you see that the gospel writers have they're not writing the chronological history. They're choosing these things as the Holy Spirit is leading them to throw light on Jesus. So he conquers Satan in the desert. And then he goes to his own hometown and starts to prophesy. And when he's rejected, he points out to them, no prophet is accepted. Because it makes him better than us. And he's going to tell us we have to change. And who the heck is he? You see? Let somebody else come, especially if they have a real good sense of humor and make everybody happy and don't urge them to change. Oh, my man, that's our man. Except he can lead you to hell. If he keeps comforting you in your sins, he's leading you to hell. Better have a preacher who's given the truth to you and makes you mad if you change. For all eternity, you'll remember the day you changed, and you will go and thank this guy for the 1,000th time for what he did for you, because he obeyed God, and through him, God changed your life. It's very important, and of course, that is the challenge of every preacher. How can I bring people to the Lord? How can I turn them from their sin? How can I enlighten their ignorance in a way that really brings them to the Lord? I could tell jokes, tell them about my fishing trip, and be real popular, but I have not helped them at all. Or I can fulminate and tell them they're all terrible and stink and they're all going to hell, and I haven't helped them at all. I have to find a way to deliver the Word of God, which is a two-edged sword. It cuts and it heals. And it does both. You see? And that's what Jesus is doing here. And so, the beginning of Jesus' prophetic ministry, as Luke wants to tell it, he tells this story about Nazareth first. There's a rejection in Nazareth told by the other synoptics. It's not as dramatic as this one. He doesn't say, that they're going to kill him. What Luke could have done is taken a story from later on in Jesus' life and put it here, because it sheds light on his whole career. See, they're not writing the life of Lincoln, where, he has to be in school before he can be president. They're not doing that. They're writing about the Word of God, the Son of God himself, and they don't have to do that. And so now we have Jesus the prophet. The model for describing Jesus the prophet is really the suffering servant. And the model for that is probably Jeremiah. Looking at Jeremiah's life, the suffering he had to be very difficult. He had to confront the people. They wanted to go to St. Peter's Cathedral, except it was the temple. Beautiful! Marble and statues and great. Yes, it's beautiful, and it should stay beautiful. But if you walk in there, look around, clap and go out, it's done you no good at all. You go in there, you kneel down and you pray, and you ask the Lord to forgive you your sins, to bless your family, to help you to be able to care for the poor and to care for others, and to pray, to come to this living knowledge. Because, as the Pope has already told us, every Christian has to be baptized in the Spirit. It has to be a conscious, living, experiential faith. And so the preacher has to find a way to help people come to that. And some are going to resist him. Every preacher knows that. That's occupational hazard. If you're not afraid, it seems to go down better. But if you know you're going to get opposition and you start preaching, kind of fighting what you're expecting, it stirs it up. Better just to say, you have to change your life, not in this tone of voice, one that's going to be telling, but it comes from love. It doesn't come from condemnation. You see? And that is the mystery. So our Lord is a prophet. But he's the model for his prophecy, prophetic vocation, in the long run, is the suffering servant. Amen.